Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now Craig, we're going to focus on the precious metals, especially gold, because, well, the sell-off, the correction really picked up steam yesterday and today, especially today. Gold, just this week, in the first about 3.5 days of trading, has dropped about $130. From that just over 1900 the whole way down to some lows today in around the 17, low 70s or low 60s, I believe. So look, a big correction, and a lot of this correction does seem to be predicated on the back of the Fed statement and Jerome Powell's comments yesterday of the Fed thinking about talking about tightening. Whatever he said there, they're not tightening right now, but it's more on the table than it was, I guess, a couple weeks ago or a month ago. But either way, man, oh man, the move, or the markets are sure hitting the metals, and it's commodities across the board, in all fairness. But let's start with gold. It's a pretty quick correction here, Craig. What are you taking away from this action?
It has certainly been remarkable, Corey. Even just going back to August, I posted a chart on my site this morning counting all of the massive red candles since August. I counted at least 21. I mean, so there's 21 trading days in a month. So in the last 10 months, we got a full month of $40 plus candles, which is just remarkable that when you think about it. I haven't been doing this for a dozen years. It's always the same adage. You take the stairway up and the elevator down. And here we are again. This one, it particularly confounds me, Corey. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. I mean, I've felt pretty good all through this year in the forecast I made back in January for 2021, that sharply negative real interest rates, based on low nominal rates, with the Fed keeping everything going and holding back the rates on the treasuries with either overt or covert yield curve control, I felt like all of that generally assured a move up to where we were last year and then beyond. And nothing could be further from the truth at this point. I mean, I was laughing to myself this morning, Corey. If you had told me back in January, you know, we already had pulled back to 1900 or whatever, I think that's where we ended the year in December, that on June the 17th, we'd have a 1.5% 10-year treasury, and the latest CPI was annualizing at 5%, and then said, oh, and guess what, Craig, where do you think price would be? I wouldn't have said 1780, Corey. And that's what's so confounding. And it leaves me kind of grasping at straws. I told people on my site since last Friday, I said, this is not a time to be like taking what I say as having any more relevance than anyone else, because I'm just as clueless here as anyone else might be. We came out of the CPI last week, and you're thinking, okay, yeah, this is a time to look at this inflation, and the bond market is rallying instead. And now we're down $130, like you said, in the last 4 days. Look, there's a lot going on in the world. You look at the reverse repo situation, which today now is up to $760 billion. I mean, that used to be something that only happened at the end of the quarter for window dressing. So you got that weird stuff going on. And again, Corey, what did the Fed actually say yesterday? And Powell himself in his press conference said, you know, I wouldn't put too much stock in those dot plots. You know, that's just kind of some stuff. That's just guessing.
They didn't even move that much anyway, too.
No. And he said, don't even pay attention to it. And at the end, what did they decide? That there were now 7 out of 18 that said they might prefer a rate hike as soon as December of 2022. They didn't say 7 out of 18 would prefer a rate hike next month. Okay. They went from 21 months to 18. And I'll remind you, that means 11 out of 18 still don't want a rate hike until 2023. So how this is all perceived as, you know, this somehow hawkish is just beyond me. And at the end of the day, I keep saying that the bond market has seen right through it. The bond market sold off yesterday afternoon and rallied all the way back today. And the 10-year note is back down to 148. It's only the dollar that has rallied and has given cover for all the selling in gold, silver, and everything else. And frankly, the dollar index, I think, is one of the greatest tricks invented yet by the bankers, because you don't compare the dollar to any actual physical standard. The dollar index just compares a dollar to, what, five or six other fiat. And so as long as they all devalue at the same rate, then relative to each other, nothing changes. And so the dollar rallies because the ECB is trapped and all they can do is print. And since the Fed is talking about tightening in 2 years, well, that's enough reason to buy the dollar, I guess. It's all just, man, it's just maddening sometimes. And like I said, until I get a better handle on what's actually moving things at this point, I almost feel like I should just keep my trap shut.
Well, doesn't it seem like the Fed is moving stuff? Because even though they didn't change policy, I guess the trend is that they're talking a bit more about tightening, even if that is well over a year out. That seems to be the key driver here. And you're right, recapping the environment that we're in, we're seeing inflation take off. Now, the debate being whether it's transitory or not, clearly the market is looking ahead and saying, we think it is transitory, because you wouldn't think that you would see gold sell off while inflation data comes in hot and yields are essentially moving sideways here. It's been interesting to see the rebound in the bond market today after the sell-off yesterday and then buy back in today. Either way, there's a lot of money still in these markets because U.S. markets aren't going through the same correction. The bond market isn't going through the same correction. The dollar's doing well. It's just that gold right now is being turned away from.
Isn't that something? And again, there's a lot of other things going on. You know, there are those people that think that, you know, there's these pending imposition of the Basel III regulations, at least for the EU banks. And I read a thing from the comptroller of the currency that in the U.S. that was put out in February that certainly looks like those same regulations apply to U.S. banks as of the 1st of July. So how much does that play into how gold is moving? I don't know. I mean, we can't know. But what is just, like I said, truly confounding is that, I mean, I understand markets are forward looking, right? I mean, you might be, your equity might be earning $4 a share this year, but whatever industry you're in, you're only going to earn $2 a share next year. So we got to, you know, factor that in into where the share price is. But forward looking a year and a half, 2 years on something like inflation and interest rates, when a year and a half ago, nobody had even heard of COVID. And that's more important. You know, there's a couple of Fed goons decide maybe they might want to move it up 90 days. That's more important than the present day. It's just mind blowing to me. And like I said, I wish I had answers. And until I feel like I have some, I'm probably not doing anybody good by talking about it.
Well, I'm going to keep on asking you questions here,
okay,
Craig.
Go ahead, Corey. I'll try.
Look, let's take a step back. And we listen to a lot of the same people in the gold sphere, and we have heard, right? Negative real interest rates, inflation moving higher, some people getting more defensive with their money, and the Fed, well, they're going to be easy forever. And again, none of this has really changed. However, gold is selling off. Do we need to take a step back and say maybe the gold market was a little overheated, because we were seeing volatility even before this week, and the rebound in gold again took it up to about 1900, 1920 actually, but now it's starting to fade. So that's technically a lower high from the most recent one that we've seen. Was gold just simply overheated?
Well, and it certainly was a couple weeks ago. The daily RSI got up to 74, something like that. And we started talking about that on my side a couple of weeks ago. It's like, well, we need to kind of churn sideways and work some of this off ahead of the FOMC. But now today, I think it's 30 or 31 today, which now is dramatically oversold. Doesn't mean it can't keep going down. So, I mean, I think you are ripe for some very sharp bounces in the next few days, but I'm not sure we're ripe for, you know, any kind of full recovery. I mean, that wipeout yesterday, again, it looks a lot like what happened on the first Friday of the year. Remember, we had started out the year strong. Everything looked great the first couple trading days, and then we got hit on Wednesday and then crushed on Friday, the whatever it was, 8th of January, in a $120 down day or something like that that's similar to today, that wiped out, took price below not only the 50-day moving average, but the 200. And then price spent about 3 weeks trying to get back above and couldn't do it. Then finally the bottom dropped out all the way into the end of March. So logically you'd think, okay, well, since we just had that same event yesterday, we'll spend the next couple of weeks trying to crawl back up, you know, to 1850 or 60, and we might. But man, this is such an uncertain time. And like I said, what we can't measure or know for sure, what, if any, impact all this Basel III stuff's going to have. And so, I mean, I'm unwilling to buy the dip because I can't say that we're not going even lower. So it is it's an interesting time, my friend. It really is. And you know, and you see this in the shares, obviously, as well. I haven't even looked today. I don't even want to know how far
you
the
don't
GDX.
Want to look today. I'm yesterday, not gonna. The shares were weathering the storm. Today, they are not.
I'm not even going to open my account. I don't even want to know. Because I'm a long-term holder. I have so many of these shares I bought in 2015, I just continue to hold. So, but for now, this is a really uncertain time, this next 2 weeks or so, that I just prefer being on the sidelines and watch it all shake out. And I will say, you know, you mentioned all this money slosh around. I mentioned earlier this reverse repo demand. The Fed tried to address that yesterday. I think some people tried to spin that as being a hike of interest rates because they increased what they're paying on excess reserves. They simply did that just to keep short rates from going below zero and breaking down below the, you know, because they quote Fed funds between zero and 0.25%. And with the effective Fed funds rate was down to just 5 basis points because of all this cash demand, or demands from all of the cash, I should put it that way. And, you know, that number used to spike sometimes right at the end of the, like a quarter, as banks and other institutions didn't want to show so much cash on their balance sheet. So they do this window dressing and, you know, 1 day repo exchange cash for treasuries. And you might get $300 billion, you know, for a day or two, and then it goes right back to zero. And now that number's just been soaring as of late. And now today it was $760 billion of just cash that's laying around doing nothing. We are so awash in liquidity and cash, Corey, that you just wonder, and it's growing by $120 billion a month and is going to continue to grow that way. You just wonder, you don't know how it's all going to shake out. And it's an interesting time just to sit and observe and see what happens next.
So then what are you going to be watching most closely, Craig, as we finish this week and move through really the rest of June? June is looking like a bad month for gold. But that's on the back of May being a very good month. What are you going to be watching? What are some of the key drivers? What are you going to be using to make your decisions moving forward?
Well, we're obviously going to watch price relative to some of those key moving averages and see if we can get back above them. I'm going to look at some of the levels that we were at. You mentioned making a lower high. I want to see if we can make a higher low, you know, something that can somehow stabilize. Obviously, north of 1680, you think, oh my God, 1680, that's down $100 from here. Well, we were 1880 3 days ago. So I'm not taking anything for granted. I'm going to continue to watch those inflation expectations like the tips. That's gotten a little distorted because the Fed has bought so many of them, which allows the Fed to sell so many of them if they want to try to control inflation expectations. But I'll continue to watch that. And we'll just see. I think the bond market at the end of the day is the most important factor. I mean, the dollar, as I said, is relative to every other fiat currency, so it's hard to put a lot of stock in the relative valuation of the dollar. But I'm going to continue to watch that bond market. If it all of a sudden sharply sells off and we go back to 175 on the 10-year, who knows how much they'll beat gold back again. But if it continues to rally, that, you know, we start talking 125, 135. That's going to be hard to keep pressing gold lower. So how's that for a potpourri of things to watch? And I'll remind you too, Corey, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's not next week, but the following week, you get the options expiration for the July silver contract and then the contract going off the board in delivery. That's always a volatile time too. So between now and the end of the month, there's no shortage of things to keep an eye on. And that's why I'd rather just kind of sit here on the sidelines and observe rather than make commitments one way or the other.
Okay. Hey, Craig, thanks for your insights. It's a tough day for precious metals investors and everyone searching for answers. But again, this is coming right on the back of the Fed meeting and an overbought reading for gold. So a correction was due, but boy, oh boy, this has been real fast this week. Let's see how we close the week and even better, how we close this month, because this is going to be an interesting one. And it is also a quarterly close, so something else to consider. All right, Craig, great chatting with you, buddy. We'll chat again next week, hopefully on a little bit better price action.
We will see. Maybe.
Greg, have a great rest of your week and a great weekend, buddy.
You too, my friend.